Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. So it's good to be here. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. The psalmist says, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And the writer Jeremiah says in Lamentations, is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. So we welcome you again to Truth Ministry. And it's so good to be here. And we welcome all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, all of our Blog Talk friends, and all of our Twitter followers. Welcome to Truth Ministry. So it's good to be here, and we thank God that we are here. Just another session of Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So we've been going through the book of St. John. We finished up a couple of sessions ago, and so now we're still only we're still dealing with the thought and the session of only believe. So we are going into John's epistles, because he wrote St. John. He wrote the first, the second, and the third epistle of John, and he also wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the book of the revelation. So we're continuing with our thought, only believe, and we started off on last time talking about fellowship with the Father. So we're going to continue on that. We want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we know this is Paul's letter or epistles to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesians. So he always encouraged them. And incidentally, one of his prison epistles. So he encouraged them of their who they were, who they were dealing with, who their enemy was. Their position in Christ, the inheritance that they have, and the warfare that they're in, what happened with the resurrection, and what the Lord does is going to do in eternity. And so, and then not only that, he just was wanting people to know that, you know, the, that their eyes of their the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. And then he was all, he was so thankful and grateful for the Lord to choose him to have an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So he was so humble in that, but he was who he was, and he knew what he did, and he was the apostle to the Gentiles, as he says in the book of Romans, I magnify mine office. So he was a mighty man of God, or he was a mighty man of a great God. So that's what we have to do as believers, to look in these letters, because they were written for us. And this is what he said when he wrote to the church at Rome, because he had heard about them. He started this church here, the Ephesian church at Ephesus. You can read about that in the Acts of the Apostles. But the book of Romans, the church at Rome, he heard of their faith. That's why he was saying that he wanted to come and impart unto them some spiritual gift. And he went on to say that, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Where? In the gospel. As it is written, that, you know, from faith, the just shall live by faith. And so that's why we say what the scriptures say. And that's what Jesus told us to do. He said, search the scriptures, and them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they, talking about the scriptures, which testify of me. St. John 5 and 39. So I want you to keep in mind the question that I always ask, because it's so imperative. We're living in the last days, and the Lord can make the cry for his people at any time. So it's just paramount that you be born again, that you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So that's why I ask, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? It is so important. So we're going on here today, and so our theme, our ongoing theme, is the Godhead, the God who is the head of all things. He is the Father. He is the Son. He is the Holy Ghost. He is the Lamb. He is the Lion. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the bishop of our souls. He is the apostle of our profession. He is the great high priest. He is the which was, which is to come, the great I am. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the door. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. He's the good shepherd. All of those things that he is, and we haven't even skimmed the surface. So we're talking about only believe. And so we have fellowship with the Father. So John wasn't just talking about himself. He's saying, you know, he that knoweth God heareth us. We're going to get to that. But he is not just talking about himself, but he's talking about the other apostles. Because it's not just I, but it's we and it's us when it comes to the Word of God. And that's why St. Paul was saying, he that anointed us is God. So it's not just a one-man show, but it's the body of Christ has many members. And so he is the head of the church, which is his body. So I believe last time we left off, we were talking about having a fellowship with the Father and talking about propitiation. So if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So I believe we left off, he was saying, I've written unto you, fathers, because you know him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. So we're going to start off the day in 1 John 2 and 15. But as I want you to know that you are welcome to call in should you have a question or should you have a comment. You are welcome to take part in this lesson, Only Believe, Fellowship with the Father. As we're continuing on today, our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. So as we continue on in the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the Word of God. And so this is our roadmap. So this is our mirror. So we can, that's why David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So the psalmist says, how shall a young man cleanse his ways? And he goes on to say, by taking heed according to thy word. And that's why he said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And I believe 119 and 105, that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we got to have the word of God. We got to hide the word of God in our hearts, because when the enemy comes, it's just like what happened to the Lord himself. We have to say it is written. So we got to fight with him. We got to fight with the sword, which is the word of God. And this is what Paul told the Ephesians when he's talking about all that armor that they should take. Above all, taking the shield of faith, that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, helping of salvation. And he said, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all supplication in the Spirit for all prayer and supplication for all saints. So the enemy of righteousness, he's the enemy of our souls. And so we're going to go on here. So John was the only one, the only writer in the New Testament that talked about Antichrist. So he's in the Old Testament. You have to look close to see of him coming. And so, you know, Antichrist, plural. But now St. Paul does deal with the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, also that he is called. So we go on here. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So he goes on, little children, it is the last time. Have ye have heard that Antichrist shall come? Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but if they were not of us, but if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know the truth, not because you know not the truth, he says, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? He that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And that's the selfsame one. That's what he's saying. So God is a spirit, and he's office of sonship. He's in the office. That's an office. But actually, the office of sonship is when he was in the earth during his earthly ministry. But the office is still, that office is not totally done away with. So that's not going to be done away with until after the church is gone out of the earth, after Israel have looked upon him, as Zechariah 4:12 and 10, the latter clause says, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. That's why they're going to wail and weep and realize that they crucified the Lord of glory. Now, St. Paul talks about that in his church to the Corinthians at Corinth, that when he was saying about wisdom, he's talking about, you know, we speak wisdom to them among them that are perfect. And then he was talking not the wisdom of this world. When the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believed. And he went on to say about Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. And so he said, which none of this the princes of this world knew. As he continues and he says, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So they killed him. Because that was the plan of the devil, to kill him. And the foreknowledge of God knew they were going to kill him. So, but he said, he spake as God, he spake as a man. He was saying during his earthly ministry, no man take my life, but I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. So he kept talking about that. They didn't really comprehend. Their eyes were holding that they should not know the scripture. They didn't understand the word of God. They didn't know what he was talking about. And so that was because the Lord, held their understanding, so they couldn't understand what he was talking about, because there's a time for everything. But the point being is he is still operating in the office of sonship, but right now he is the priest. So he's not going to be, he's going to reign, St. Paul said in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, until he has put all enemies under his feet. And then he goes on to say, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is, so you can't go, the gospel is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. And like I said, I quoted it earlier when I just came on. That's why he went to Rome. He was saying, I'm not ashamed, because Rome was a horrible place. Some of the things that they were doing, the Apostle Paul said, they cut babies out of women. They did some wicked things in Rome, Italy. And Paul said, that's where I want to preach. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Keep on believing, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. As is written, the just shall live by faith. So that's what he was saying. That's what I want to preach. So the gospel message is still going forth, and we are in Christ's stead, the church. He is the head of the church, which is his body. So he goes on here. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Because he was saying, if you deny the Son, you have not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. So in other words, you have God if you acknowledge the Son, because that is the office that he is working through. It is him. It is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God was in Christ, as he wrote to the church at Corinth in his second letter. He says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, hath committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. And he goes on to say, to wit, you know, he had made him to knew no sin, to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And then, it's like I just said, he had made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, and so this is why when John wrote, he said, and the Word was made flesh. Sometimes people say, they say that, he became flesh. No. He was made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John said, we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare record and cried, saying, this is he whom I spake that should come after me. He was before me. And he was saying, you know, of his fullness that we receive grace for grace. And he went on to say, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so we know, as he went on to say, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he went on to say, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And everyone that believeth on him, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And he went on to say, this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So this is what this is all about. So not to condemn people, not to beat people down, but to pray you up, to preach you up, teach you up, let you know you can come up. You can come and be saved. We all had to come the same way. We all were broken and broken down and hurt, crying crocodile tears, as they say. We needed, he drug us in. He drew us in with his love. So, of course, we as humans, we didn't want to come, but we came. Tired, weary, and worn. But we found in him a resting place. You know, tired, weary, worn, and sad. But we found in him a resting place. He has made us glad. So this is what the message is all about, is what we're trying to say. So then John goes on here. This is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. So this is what you receive when you receive the Holy Ghost. So many times you have heard me, if you follow me, my broadcast, Truth Broadcast, that I talk about the Holy Ghost. This is the promise. Like they received on the day of Pentecost, and Peter preached that he was the one that had the keys, which simply meant he had the power and authority. And so he preached, and he said, this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. And that's in Joel 2 and 28. And there's a lot to go in that those few books of Joel. But that shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Shall dream, old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Upon your servants and your handmaids, in those days shall I pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, which means preach. So there's no deep thing about it. I mean, some of this new stuff that's coming up today, people talking about they flow in the prophetic and all that. There is no prophetic outside of the prophetic writers who wrote. So you got to get an understanding of what the Word of God says. People are looking for a word. Well, that's why you need to be in a local church. God said it to solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land, which the dry land is the desert. In the desert, there's no living water. You will die. You got to have a home. And so you have to have, we say, a covering. But you got to have someone to watch for your souls, the under shepherd, which is we're under the shepherd of our souls. That's why Peter talked about Jesus. He is the bishop. He is the apostle of our profession. He is the bishop and shepherd of our souls. So we under him. So we under the umbrella of the apostle of our profession, the bishop of our souls, the great shepherd of the sheep, and that is none other than the Lord himself. So he said, this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. So when you receive the new birth, you receive the earnest of your inheritance. So it's like a down payment when you buy a house. You put up earnest money. So you put money down, you sign a contract in the natural, as we say,
then nobody can circumvent you. They can't take, I don't care how much money they got. You, it's under, they say three words. It's under contract. You can't take it. So you got one soul. So what you're doing, what God is doing when he gives us his spirit, we know that he means business. He can't lie. He promised. If you repent, that's what Peter preached, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He goes on to say, for the promises unto you, talking about the Jews, to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So we who sometimes were far off, in the book of Ephesians, he was talking about the Gentiles. We are fellow heirs with the same body. He said, you sometimes were far off. You're made nigh by the blood of Christ, which means near. He brought us near. So he tore down the middle wall of partition and made us one. So we're both Jew and Greek or whatever. It doesn't matter what ethnicity, whatever nationality you were, we are all one in Christ. So every nation, tongue, and people, and kindred. So that's what Peter had to find out. He said, in every nation, you know, he said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons at Cornelius' house. When he preached unto the Gentiles, when he opened the door of salvation unto the Gentiles, Peter thought this, he was prejudiced in his own way. He thought that this message, this gospel was only for the Jews. He said, every nation he found out, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable with him. So that's why he said before that statement, I perceive or I understand, I got it now. He is no respecter of persons. So all he wants us to do is acknowledge him, to repent. Do works meet for repentance. The same message that John the Baptist had when Jesus, during his earthly ministry, he had the same message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So when you're born again, you repent, you go, you're water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and God promised to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that's why I'm saying, I gave that little analogy about the earnest money. So he promised, you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, he promised to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. So when you have that, you're ready. You have eternal life. So all you got to do is walk. That's why he told them, disciples, in the 8th chapter of St. John, he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not set you free, but make you free. The Son, therefore, shall make you free. Ye shall be free indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So this is what he was saying. If you continue, this is the promise that he promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So this, I have to bring that out. You got to be born again. You just can't start reading the Bible, think you're going to benefit from God's word, because this is actually the children's bread. The everything after book of Acts, which is the salvation book, the four Gospels, they actually were under the law. So he said things and broke down things to them in the Gospels. And there's only one Gospel, but there are four Gospel writers. So he done something. He broke tradition. They were so mad at him because he condemned them. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, as they say, they were sad, you see. They stood around in long garments and, you know, pious look on their face like they were saved, and they weren't. He let them know, you're full of dead men's bones. So he was saying, it hath been said of old, but I say, them three words. That's what they was mad at him about. He showed them the way. He was the light. That's why he said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so this is what he's doing right now. He inspired John the Apostle to write to, these are general epistles, to the believers. So what John does, he doesn't just write to a particular church. like some of them did, like the Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he wrote to the Ephesians, he wrote to the Philippians, he wrote to the church at Colossae, which is the Colossians, he wrote to the Thessalonians, which is the church at Thessalonica, he wrote to them. James is in a general epistle. Philemon they said he was a slave. So 1st and 2nd Timothy. Timothy was his son in the gospel. And then Hebrews. He wrote to the Hebrews. And then so we have the general epistles. And then Peter also wrote. And he wrote two books. He wrote 1st Peter. Had five chapters, and then he also wrote Second Peter that has three chapters. So these were all written. So for our admonition, so we can know how to walk. And so this is why, like I said, the scripture in Romans 15 and 4 says, whatsoever things are written afore were written for our learning. We, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So it's for our learning. Some things were to them, but they are for our learning. And so you can't go wrong if you follow the road map, because God cannot lie. And when he swear by no greater, he swear by himself. So Titus, in the book of Titus, he said, God which cannot lie. And so Hebrew writer bears record when he said it was impossible for God to lie. So he said, so the thing is, what we need to know, I don't care if somebody say they got a word of prophecy, which is the word of God. I mean, if you got a word from God, if God said it, you can put your foot on it. It's true. But if God didn't say it, you got a problem. You know, we don't think off the top of our heads. Just like they say, when God says do this and do that, then that's when we move. God is moving, and we are moving with God. So we want to do what he says, and we want to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And so we go on here. So he says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So this is why this is happening in the last days. So we want to have fellowship with the Father. We got to stay with him. We got to do just like he is righteous. Everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So that's what we have to do. So we're going to get to that when we get to the third chapter. We know our time is moving on. So as I go on here, should you desire to call in, to have, if you have a comment or you have a question, you are welcome. Our call-in number, 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285 on today, December 6, 2017, at a little after 5:33 in the afternoon on December 6, 2017. So we're just thankful. We thank God that we're able to look into the perfect law of liberty, like James said. So we go on here. So he says about them that seduce you. So that's what I remember now. What I was going to say was St. Paul wrote to his son Timothy in last days. He was talking about the Spirit speaking expressly that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with an hot iron. So we're in that time when there are seducing spirits. And then the thing is, what we really have to realize is that people are hungry for God. That's why it behooves us to get in a church that's preaching the truth, not these lying preachers. That's a false prophet. To tell you don't need the Holy Ghost. Well, I tell you one thing. The reason why he's telling you don't need the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues is because he don't have it. Because if he had it, he wouldn't be fighting it. So that's a lying spirit. That's an anti-Christ. Jesus said, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeneth. That means where it will. Thou hearest the sound thereof, canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. And he goes on to say, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as a fire is set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so even like the devil does, he's trying to say these men are full of new wine. Peter let them know these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And so that's the way it was even in the beginning of the gospel. The enemy has been fighting ever since. And he don't give up. And we're fighting too. We're fighting a good fight of faith, and we can't lose in this fight. So he goes on here about, I've written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Now, but this shows you how it is important. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive everything with the Holy Ghost. You walk in the calling that you are called, you are anointed. And so he goes on here, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. So the anointing that's in the teacher, that's in the preacher, that's in the pastor, the same anointing is in you. If he's been born again, she's been born again. If you all have been born again, you have the same anointing. There's only one Spirit. And the Spirit is not confused. It's saying the same thing. It's only one Spirit. The Spirit is unified. So that's why we have to believe. So that's why we seek the Lord when we are going to minister his word. We want the direction of the Lord because, like he said, as the snow and the rain cometh down from heaven, that it may make it the earth, to bring water at the earth, the snow and the rain, that it watereth the earth to make it to bring forth and the bud. And then he was going on to say, that it may give you seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He is not talking about money. He is talking about grain, wheat, to grow. Barley and wheat, you grow and you can bake bread and make bread. And the analogy, what he's talking about. Literal snow, literal rain, literal corn or wheat is planted. It grows. You can bake bread. So he says, so shall my word go forth out of my mouth, shall not return unto me void. It's going to accomplish the thing that I sent it and prosper in that which I please. So that's what's so important. And people are not talking about that. They're trying to turn stuff into, I've never seen a dollar bill turn into a seed, and a seed ain't going to turn into a dollar bill because it's against the law. Anything that's just currency. That's a means of that we use. We call it a medium of exchange, is what that is. And so it has nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. But the anointing, and you're not going to have no anointing if you don't have the Holy Ghost. You sure don't have it. But we got to be, the anointing teaches you all things, and it's truth, it is no lie, even as that taught you. You shall abide in him, now little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So he's going to come back. So this is a wicked world that we're living in. He is going to appear. That is not the second coming. When he appears, he's going to take his church. So he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Dead in Christ going to rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So he says, Paul says, when he wrote to the church at Corinth, he didn't want them to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. We just quoted that. But he was saying, I show you a mystery. He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, the trumpet shall sound. shall sound, and we shall be changed. And he went on to talk about this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, the saying shall be brought to pass, that death is swallowed up in victory. And he goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why he was saying, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So what we want to do is to be ready, not be ashamed when he appears. So you got to, so the way to do that is to have fellowship. And that's the same way it is in that's a relationship. Just like I talked about on last week, how so intertwined and close that fellowship is, the relationship of fellowship. Everybody don't have that. Everybody don't have fellowship with the Father, because it's such a closeness and an intertwined relationship. It is really described like intercourse. It is so delicate. Everybody don't have that. You got to be in the church triumphant, in the Savior's bride, to have fellowship with the Father. So you got fellowship with the Father, then you're going to have fellowship one with another, because we're going to do those things which he said for us to do when we have fellowship, like we should. So he goes on here, and I know today we are talking about, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we're going to get, we already had a mention about that, but we're going on here in our lesson of fellowship with the Father. But so he goes on, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So what is the subject here in this first verse that I read? The subject is the Father. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the Son of God, sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So it didn't know him. So it's a wonder, even today, that the world don't know who the sons of God are. So go on here, beloved. Now, are we the sons of God? John writes here, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And he goes on here to say, every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. You know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. So if we notice here, that ETH on the end of sinneth. So that means, like we say, we don't practice sin. If you make a mistake, sometimes people get angry, might say something that they shouldn't. They repent of it. They're good. They're clean. They came clean. That's what you got to do. You make a mistake, get it right, move on, move forward, you know, as people say, move on. So you don't dwell in, you hate you done it. So what we got to do, we just have to look at ourselves. And that's why the Bible said, James said, let every man be, you know, swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So the wrath of man, it doesn't work the righteousness of God. So you can't go wrong. You think about what you're going to say. That's the problem with the world today. Too many times people are saying things. They ain't thinking about what they're going to say. They're saying what come to their mind. Then they realize how stupid it was after they said it. Then they want to try to clean it up. But then on the other hand, people saying things and then they apologize it. And then sometimes people, what they're doing is what's in their heart, is what they think of you, is what they're saying. and they want to try to turn it around. Oh, I didn't mean that. I'm so sorry. My apologies. No, you're steady apologizing because you need to get your heart right, and you won't have to do that. You didn't think about what you're saying. You're going to say before you say it, instead of making some derogatory term about individuals, like that one football owner called the people, you know, like they were inmates. I mean, that's ridiculous. No. And then he's going to turn around and, oh, I didn't mean that. No, yes, you did. You said it. So you have to be careful. You're snared by your own words. You're taken by your own words. You're justified by your own words. You're condemned by your own words. And that's in the book. So this is what we have to do. So the answer to everything that we need is in the Word of God. So he goes on to say, you know that he was manifest to take away the sins of the world. And so we're talking about the Son of God. He was manifest. So whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. So the Father is the subject. Whosoever sinneth. So if you keep on sinning, you haven't seen him, neither known him. But little children, let no man deceive you, that he that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. So for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, did that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for a seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. And this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So that's another thing people don't want to talk about, that the devil has children. So they chose to do, some people are doing things that they're doing. They don't want to do what God say. They think it's all a joke. They think when you're dead, you're done. That is a lie. And the devil knows that's a lie. So he's just deceiving people every chance that he gets. And so he goes on, this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. So we know Cain, he went out from the presence of the Lord and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Question. Because his own works were evil. The answer, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, brethren. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So we have to love one another. So, you know, some people say, I love everybody. That is a lie. You don't even know everybody. The same people that say it sound good, you don't love everybody. Matter of fact, I could name somebody you don't love, you know, when you hear people say that. But the thing is, you don't know everybody. But he was saying, love your enemies. We go back in the Gospels, and even Paul writes when he wrote to the church at Rome, you know, about your enemies, do good. So it's got to be somebody that you are close to. You don't have no enemy that you don't know, you never met. God has enemies. But what I'm saying is he's talking about us and our brother, you know, the attitude that we have. Don't become an enemy. Don't make an enemy. Don't hold a grudge. Too many times that's what people do. They hold a grudge, or they got a preconceived notion, or they believe something that someone else said about somebody else, and people do that too. They hear what somebody said about somebody, and so you're looking at them funny. You don't know if that's true or not. So we just have to give people the benefit of the doubt and deal with people. So maybe you two do have an ought one with another, but you need to get that straight. But in the meantime, I don't have no problem with the person you're trying to paint dirty to me, or trash. And so this is what we have to do. We have to treat everybody as the way that we would want to be treated. So he goes on and says, we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So you don't want to do that. We want to be right. Sometimes you have to let stuff go. And I mean, if people just want to be offensive, then you just have to get away from them, because you don't have to live like that either. a person just want to offend. So he was saying, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life in him. So you don't want to hate. So you don't want to get a seed of bitterness. So people get bitter, people are wounded, people are angry. At times things happen. As human beings, what you got to do is grow up to be mature, be a mature child of God, and then some things you just let go. Like you got to keep, like I said, you don't have to keep dealing with that. A person just going to be offensive all the time, keeping things going, keeping up a ruckus, or stirring up strife and dissensions and divisions. Then you have the right. It's your choice. It's your right. You can get away from them because they're always keeping something going. You don't have to live like that. Get away from them. So he goes on here, hereby perceive we the love of God. So in other words, we can see how God loved us because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So, but whoso hath this world, seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his brother. Seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion. How dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. If we can say we love somebody, and sometimes you can see a need and you can meet it. You can do it. You can help. We sometimes as people, we don't want to accept. I mean, God can reveal to you that somebody has a particular need. So, because that's how we are. We can know, and if we can help, then we can help them in the need. And sometimes people will let you know. So that's good, too. But it's just between you, them, and God. And so, that's the way it should be, because that is your, and Jesus said anyway, he was saying, it's more blessed to give than to receive. We always looking at a blessing, I want my blessing. When we look at material things, that I want to be just like what he said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So in other words, I don't want to never, I want to be able to give. So that's not just money. That's time, other thing, whatever you can do to help somebody. It's good to be able to be a blessing. That's what he told Abraham. I'm going to bless him to bless you, curse him to curse you. And he went on to say, and thou shall be a blessing. So he is the father of faith. He is our father in the faith. And so we can do the same things that he done. He was a blessing, and we can be a blessing also as being blessed with faithful Abraham. So he says here, my little children, let us love in word. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before for him. So this, like I said, you got to keep your heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep your hearts with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. So you got to keep your heart. Love for the people, a love for God, a love for the people, love for yourself. Keep your heart right, because that people don't want to let a root or bitterness in your heart. Your heart ain't right, then ain't nothing going to be right if your heart ain't right. So he goes on here, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. So sometimes there's things that people can't do. They feel condemned. So listen to your heart, your spirit. It's the self-same thing. And many times, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, he says, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. This is the commandment that we should believe. This is his commandment that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So it's all about doing what he says. So we want to stay in fellowship. So same way it is that you get a citation, just like they have work rules when you work, and you don't want to keep you breaking rules. You get a citation, you might get another one, then you get suspended. So you're doing that. You're out of fellowship. So you're not right there with everybody else if you do that. So you don't want to do that. You want to stay right in tune, right with everybody else is the point. So you don't want to have things that take you off, you know, citation. I can't think of the word that I'm really looking for, but you want to stay in tune with the people of God and with God. And the way you do that is that you know, a little something, misunderstanding happens, you get it right right away. Like they said, even like chastisement, when you chastise your child, says you chastise them betimes, which means right away, immediately. So in other words, you nip it in the bud, like the old people used to say, and it's done. It's over with. And you keep on moving. You want to keep tripping over the same thing over and over again, as it were, like they say. Just keep, you know, knocking over the glass. Pick it back up. No, you got to grow up, be mature, and you won't be doing that. You can stay in fellowship. So you don't have to worry about you can walk right, and nobody's going to. It's bad enough. You don't want to keep going, taking the same test over and over again. And that's what it's like, because you got to pass the test. Nobody want to keep repeating the same stuff. You get frustrated, but you want to be mature where you don't have to keep going through the same thing over and over again. So you go to a new level. That's the way it is. You're promoted. You go from one step to the next step. You know, they got a saying, to the next level. No, you're going up the stairs. Just like they say, prayer is like going up the stair steps. You keep going up. You ain't going to never stop going up until the Lord make the shout and take us out of here in the rapture of the church. And so we thank God for the word on today. We thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So my question to you, because I love you, I love helping people and sharing with people, and he told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So thank God for this means of Blog Talk Radio, this outreach that I have called Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So I ask the question, and I'm going to do it every time I get a chance. And the question is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? God bless you. See you all next time.